Southern California Live with Johnny Wendell on the Patriot KEIB AM 1150. Happy Sunday night to you. Joining us for a couple of segments, the filmmaker, Southern California filmmaker by the name of Zane Busby, who has compiled the stories of the remaining Holocaust survivors. It is the end of that particular generation as well. And she wanted to make sure that their stories were heard and were immortalized as they pass from this earth. You know what? I'm going to have Zane explain everything herself because she's remarkably eloquent and the subject matter is so powerful that you would turn it over to the auteur themselves. Zane, welcome to KEIB AM 1150. You're there, right? You can hear me.
Yes. Hello.
Okay. Yeah. You're there. Let's talk about the film immediately because this is so powerful. We won't dilly-dally over nonsense, okay? The name of the film. Yeah. Go ahead.
It's The Last Survivors, Echoes from the Holocaust.
Right.
And what it is it takes you on a journey through the lives of the elderly Holocaust survivors who are still living in Eastern Europe in remote villages and telling their inspiring and compelling stories and the efforts of our organization to bring them emergency aid because they are in dire need of food, medicine, heat, shelter. And we have a great cast, Valerie Harper, Ed Asner, Francis Fisher, Leni Kazan, Alan Rosenberg, and they tell these survivor stories in these amazingly powerful performances. Because these were people who were not in concentration camps. These were people who were fighting as partisans in the forest as teenagers. They were hidden. They were, you know, going under assumed identities. They were in ghettos, and their stories have not been told yet.
Okay.
So this really illuminates that.
I have a question for you. Oh, by the way, when is the film going to air in Southern California?
Okay.
And where? Yeah.
Everyone is invited. It's May 1st at 7 o'clock p.m. at Temple Israel of Hollywood.
Okay.
And the tickets are free, but there's limited seating, so you have to RSVP to reserve your seats.
And the number?
The number is 213-622-5050, 622-5050.
Okay.
Or you can just email us at Survivor Mitzvah, which is Survivor MITZVAH at gmail.com.
Very good. Okay. I have a question for you before we get into the vignettes of the various folks, because I saw the trailer for the film, and people are speaking, and they are talking about their experiences. Do you believe that one of the reasons that anti-Semitism and so much overt racism all over the world is seems to have returned with an especial vengeance is because this generation that we are talking about is passing from the earth and nobody remembers how lethal this stuff can be?
Well, that's a really good point because, you know, they, to a person, all these survivors, and I've met with, you know, over 2,000 of them, they all say, watch for the signs, watch for the clouds of war, you know. And even when they were young people, I mean, Hitler was a joke. I mean, when he was elected, you know, they all thought it was, oh, this is some clown. Nothing will ever happen. But the minute they said, you see the free press start to go and journalists start to be silenced and little erosions in your laws and things like that, those are the telltale signs that something is terribly wrong and it's just going to get worse.
Now,
so,
Former President Obama a couple of days ago wrote about this, and he said there is a tremendous amount of anxiety worldwide that people's cultures are disappearing and vanishing, the world is getting smaller and smaller, and that there is a level of anxiety that accompanies this that is easily exploited by ruthless politicians, say. Is that the gist of what you hear from some of these survivors, which is that this stuff can come back, you know, it does exist in the human psyche?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, interestingly enough, in 2010, okay, I'm in Ukraine, and they live in huts, most of these people who live in remote villages.
Right.
And I'm in the hut of this guy. His name is Seal Groisman. And he was just like a normal, like, 17-year-old, and the war happens, and the killing squads come into Ukraine, and he gets conscripted into the Russian army, right?
Right.
So he goes with no training, you know, a wooden gun, because they didn't even have a gun for him, and he ends up in the biggest tank battle in the history of the world, right?
Right.
And he barely escapes with his life. And by the time the war is over, he comes back to his village, and his parents and sisters and everyone has been massacred, right? So I'm in his house on New Year's Eve, and I say to him, so I have to ask you this question. Do you hate Ukrainians? And he said, no. He said, Ukrainians killed my family, but Ukrainians also saved my life because they were kind Ukrainians. He said, and he said something I will never forget.
Yeah.
He said, nationalism is the root of all evil. It's the source of all wars. He said, you have no right to be proud of the country you were born in, your religion, your race, the color of your skin or eyes, because you had nothing to do with any of those things.
That's true.
But if you comport yourself like a kind, compassionate, and honest human being, then your country and your religion and your, you know, your race can be proud of you.
Right.
So it's not a, you know, it's all about people, and it's not about countries. And I've always asked these survivors, you know, look, some of these people that I've met with, you know, are 100 years old, 105 years old. So
wow.
They've been under, you know, the czar. They've been under communism, socialism, you know, Hitlerism, you know, Nazism, fascism, democracies. I said, what's for you, you know, which one works? What was the best time? And they say, it doesn't matter as long as there's no war.
Okay. Do you sense that when people see some of these Holocaust survivors in your film, that they will be able to relate in any way in relatively affluent, peaceful America circa 2019 and say, you know, we have more in common with these people than we have differences with these people?
Absolutely, we have more in common with these people, because the organization that I founded is the Survivor Mitzvah Project.
Okay.
And it happened because I'm a comedy. First, I was a comedy actress, and first of all, I came out here in a rock and roll band. I have a checkered past.
Oh yeah.
Then
what was an actress. Oh yeah. What was the band called? What were they called?
The band was called B&B.
Yeah.
And we set up at the old Columbia sound stages and did midnight shows because we were from New York, you know, and not realizing that, wait a minute, this is an early town. Everyone goes to sleep.
That's correct. That's correct.
So it was a learning curve for us. And then I was an actress, and I was in Up in Smoke and all these crazy movies. And then I switched to directing and have directed probably 200 sitcoms by now. So I'm from the world of comedy, and I'm going into this crazy world of the Holocaust, you know.
Right.
Which was just accidental, because I just decided to go on a trip, you know, during my hiatus to see where my grandparents were born. That's all. And while I'm on these back roads and going through these little villages in Belarus and Lithuania, I find these Holocaust survivors, elderly and alone, and they're on their hands and knees digging up potatoes from the earth because it's September and the ground's going to freeze and they won't have a food supply. And they've been forgotten by the world, you know? So I thought, oh, I talked to these people, and I went into their huts, and I came back, and I thought, oh, okay, I can help them by just finding, you know, there's got to be a million charities that are doing this work, and I'll just find one online, and then I'll give them these names, and then I'll send money to the charity. But you found
there weren't any.
18 years later, there still aren't any charities helping these people and giving them direct financial aid. So that's how I started.
Okay,
you know, this whole process.
Ms. Busby, we got to take a break. Can you hang on through the break with us?
Sure.
Southern California Live with Wendell. Johnny Wendell, the Patriot, KEIB AM 1150. Please stay tuned. Southern California Live with Wendell. That's me, Johnny Wendell, the Patriot, KEIB AM 1150, joined for the next segment by filmmaker Zane Busby, who has compiled, and I guess you've been working on this film for 18 years now?
Well, we've been shooting this, no, not on this film. We have a big documentary coming out, but I've been recording Holocaust survivors in 9 countries in Eastern Europe for many, many years.
Okay.
This film is some of that, and then we have wonderful actors who are reading some of their testimony. So and we have, you know, singers, and I decided to take my show business aspects and put them into the Holocaust because it's a hard subject, and you
rather.
Know. So, and my connections are all with people who are artists and musicians. So whenever we do a reading of Holocaust testimony, or I try to raise money for these people, we always get a band and we get actors, and, you know, we get a lot of artists to come together and help these people, because that's what makes it okay for people to sit, because it's a hard subject, you know.
Well,
and
now,
also the Survivor Mitzvah Project is about life. That's, you know, this is not about death. It's not about the death camps. It's not about Auschwitz. It's about people who survived for some miraculous reason, were able to survive that, and they're alive, and they have stories to tell, and they have hopes for the future. And this is what the important thing is, to get out their message, you know?
Very good. We're talking to Zane Busby. She is, as she says, of the Survivor Mitzvah Project, has a film that is airing at Temple Israel on Hollywood Boulevard on the 1st of May?
Yes, that's Yom HaShoah, which is Holocaust Remembrance Day.
Okay. And if you want tickets to the film, you go to which website, ma'am?
You can just go to, email us at survivormitzvah.com. You
okay.
can go to our website as well and look in the events, and there'll be posting about it.
Why do you see in the United States right now that there seems to be a gigantic upswell of anti-Semitism in America, when it had been relatively dormant for quite a while after World War II? What do you attribute this to?
Well, I think there's an upswell in hatred for the other, anything that's different. You know, I come from New York, so like when it was Puerto Rican Day, we were all Puerto Rican. When it was San Gennaro Festival, we were all Italian, you know. And that was a wonderful way to grow up, because you learned about all these different cultures in the melting pot, which is really New York.
Right.
Nowadays, it's, you know, when you hear politicians and you hear it come from governments and officials that we shouldn't trust other people, that there are people who are beneath us because they're from different countries. This is just all poison. You know, it's poisoning everyone. And it's very easy to have anti-Semitism. You know, let's go hate the Jews. Look, during World War II, there was a lot of anti-Semitism. There was a big rally in, I think, 1938 or 1939, Madison Square Garden. It was over like 30,000 people came. It was a Nazi rally.
Right.
There was a lot of anti-Semitism. There was anti-Semitism in the Roosevelt cabinet.
Right.
You know, that would not let all the people who were, you know, targeted to be killed in death camps into this country. You know, they reduced the quota to 10%. You know,
right.
So. That's happening today, too, when, you know, our president says, you know, the country's closed. Our country should be open. I mean, I think the Statue of Liberty is the most beautiful thing, and the words on it, the most beautiful thing to be proud of. And that's being eroded, and that's just a crying shame.
Well, I could veer off onto a tangent that would last probably about a month on this one. So,
right, I understand, right.
So we'll let that one go. Of all of the people that you have interviewed, all of the Holocaust survivors, is there any one person that struck you the hardest and stayed with you the longest, you think?
Oh, there are so many. I mean, there's a wonderful man named Isaac Bakhmeyev, right? And
yeah.
he's got a great story from Ukraine. His father was a Tatar, which is, you know, one of the indigenous peoples in the Russian Empire.
Right.
And his mother was Jewish.
Right.
So they fell in love, and both families disowned them. So they moved to another place where Isaac was born, and he had like 4 brothers and sisters, and his mother was pregnant. And Isaac's out in the street one day playing ball, and a truck comes with a loudspeaker saying, "All the Jews come to the marketplace," you know. And his father, who was a Tatar, and, you know, kind of like had a lot of relationships with the locals knew what that meant. It meant that if they come to the marketplace, they're going to be slaughtered in the marketplace.
Right.
So when Isaac came home and said, hey, we all have to go to the marketplace, his father said, oh no. And he gathered up the family, and they went to a Ukrainian family, a neighbor family, and hid in their basement, their cellar, their food storage cellar.
Right.
And they're in the cellar, and of course, there's no food for them, and there's no food for this kind family. And the mother, Isaac's mother, is like 9 months pregnant, and she gives birth to a baby in that cellar, right? And there's no food, so she wraps, she takes a few breadcrumbs in a cloth with some water and let the baby suck on that. Now, I met this baby. This baby is grown up, you know?
Right.
But Isaac, because he was thin and blonde and blue-eyed and looked Ukrainian, he was sent out as a Ukrainian kid to forage for food with his family's Ukrainian son. And they would forage for food, and he's 12 years old, right?
Yeah.
And he said, I kept my father's razor in my boot so that if we were stopped by the Gestapo, which happened a lot, and questioned, he could slit his own throat rather than give away the hiding place of his family, age 12. And as he said that, his voice got so, like, raspy, as if he was imagining having to slit his own throat. But he, you know, an amazing guy, an amazing, kind, wonderful person who, you know, tells us what they all tell us, that the most important thing is kindness and compassion, especially kindness and compassion towards strangers. I always ask these survivors, what's the most important thing in life? And they always answer good health. And I say, no, what's the most important thing in life besides good health? And they always say kindness and compassion. Help
right.
someone. He said, if you can't help them monetarily, put a kind hand on a shoulder. Say a kind word, you know, but don't let people be alone. Don't let people suffer. And if you can't do something good, this is a really good one. This woman said to me, if you can't do something good, then just step out of the way.
And let good take its place.
Yeah, in other words, don't be an obstructionist.
Zane Busby is a filmmaker. The name of her film is, go ahead.
The Last Survivors, Echoes from the Holocaust.
And it will be playing where?
At Temple Israel of Hollywood on May 1st at 7 p.m. And there's free tickets, limited seating. So RSVP to us at 213-622-5050. And you can also go online to survivormitzvah.org and see snippets of our film and all information about how to help these Holocaust survivors who are really in need of everything. I mean, they're old and they're alone and they don't have communities and most of them don't have families.
No.
And they need food and medicine really badly.
Zane, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it's been wonderful. You take good care.
Thank you.
Enjoy your Sunday. Bye-bye.
Indeed, I will.
Okay.
Southern
bye-bye.
California Live with Wendell at the Patriot, KEIB AM 1150. We shall return.